So they're helping us kind of assess some of the other models that are going on because, you know, Chicago, we haven't done it yet. And there actually have been some places where they have done these kind of things, both on the East Coast, on the West Coast, and some others. So, you know, learning from them, you know, what's been good about some of these local distribution things? What are some of their challenges? So, anyway, so we're basically doing this study, and we hope that with this document, then, you know, we've got assessments, budgets, projections, and a needs assessment for where do we go from here, and then go to other people's money, state, city, federal sources, foundations, and help them, help us create the kind of a regional system that will, in effect, help build an organic regional food system. And then the other side is farmers. Because, you know, if you look at Illinois and how many organic farmers are doing produce, there's maybe four in the entire state. Exactly. Not all of them, but a few of them are. And, you know, Wisconsin's got quite a few, whether it be, you know, crop, whether it be this network that Michael was talking about that's doing Homegrown Wisconsin, or Linda and Richard, who spoke earlier, you know, they're part of. How do we tie in with them? How do we tie in with Michigan, which used to be the biggest fruit-producing region in the country? And then the senator of Washington State in the 30s happened to head the Agricultural Committee for the United States and basically drove all the subsidies to Washington. This is what I've heard. I'm not positive about that, but I think. And so Washington overtook Michigan as a big fruit producer. So that's fine. Let them produce it. And they're starting to do a good job. There's a lot of organic coming out of Washington. But, hey, let's start producing organic fruit back again in the Midwest. There's a little bit. Blueberries, you know, I actually had some Pink Lady apples, which are fabulous, from Michigan earlier. But, you know, let's work on what do we need to support farmers to start doing organic at the production level that is going to help build this regional food system. So, you know, part of this is getting some foundation money to really assess what's going to happen out there. And part of it is working with groups that are already doing farmer training, whether it be Michael Fields Institute, which some of you may have heard, or the CRAFT program, or, you know, some others, Fred Kirschenman, and I've been talking to him about Leopold Center at Iowa State, how we can link up with them. So I think those are really the two key areas. And I think once we've got a distribution system, I think the farmers are going to come. You know, it's kind of like if you build it, they will come, Field of Dreams. But we also have to help them come and help them make the transition in some cases. And, you know, it's a big deal, and it's going to be a complicated process. This is really a 5 to 10 year situation. You know, and then, you know, once we've got those two things, what are some other areas? I think, you know, working on land protection programs is key, particularly in an urban area like Chicago. There's a lot of land that right now is being gobbled up by developers. And in some of these cases, farmers don't want to sell, but they have no choice because the economics of farm production in those areas, their taxes are going up, you know, some other things. They need incentives. So if there's ways of using, like, purchase of development rights where they can get some cash or some tax credits to keep their land in production and then get a premium ultimately if they transition organic, I think that's a really good way of doing it. You know, another thing that we'd like to do is work with both the USDA Extension Service, state universities, state and federal agricultural programs. You know, in the past, they've been really, like, organic, you know, not wanting much to do with it unless they were a renegade. And I'll tell you, one of the advantages of the new organic rule, which, you know, certainly has its share of problems, no question about it, one of the advantages of it is it's now a federal program. They've got all the money, and, you know, they're subsidizing agribusiness at, you know, how many tens of billions of dollars a year. How about giving a little bit of that money towards organic? And if you've got relationships with the state and the federal extension service programs, you can start getting some of that money. And it's now a federal program, and they're open to it. And now I'm starting to see at conferences a lot more people from state and federal programs who work there who are looking for organic programs to get involved in. You know, one of my friends is involved at the University of Illinois, and she's got 80 faculty members who want to start doing stuff with organic, which is unheard of. 3 years ago, they wouldn't have even came out of the closet and said that, organic. But
communist plot.
Exactly. But now they're like open to it and they're into it, which is like really exciting. So anyway, there's opportunities there. One of my friends is doing an organic farmers market on the west side of Chicago in an African-American neighborhood. And she's working with a group of African-American farmers. And she's getting money from the city of Chicago and from the Chicago Community Trust and the Kellogg Foundation to start building. She's going to, her next step is an organic food cooperative in this neighborhood that's 90% African-American plus, that has one supermarket for 150,000 people, and most of the dollars go out, And let me tell you, none of the food is organic in the supermarket. It's mostly, processed crap. I hate to say it, but it is. And she recognized that. And her kids, like Michael's kids, while they didn't have problems as serious as him, they had serious problems. She started feeding them fresh organic food, and you know what? They got healthy. And she's like, I want to do this not only for my kids, but for all the rest of the kids in this part of the city. So, that's starting to happen. Another woman, Abby Mandel, wants to create a year-round farmers market in downtown, kind of like Pike's Place Market, and, make it a showcase for local organic food as much as possible. And, the city of Chicago wants to support her in this. So it's interesting. These are all long-term things, but they're starting to happen. The Greater Chicago Food Depository, the guy who runs that, he's given away $55 million worth of food to the hungry and homeless every year. And he's like, I will take all of your excess organic food. Just get it to me. Uh-oh, Julie's shaking her head.
It's like we have too much. We can't take it all.
Really?
We have excess.
Oh, that's not what he told me, but we have to talk. There are. And actually, there's a food security summit that's happened a couple years in a row now, linking food security leaders, pantries, and others with local producers. And there's this whole interchange now going on between the producers and the people who are helping the needy. And it's starting to work. And it's actually sponsored by the Chicago Community Trust, which is, incredible. There's just a lot going on there. So let's see. I probably only got a couple more minutes. City of Chicago, vacant lots. LaDonna, the woman who has the farmer's market, her husband has got three lots on the west side, and it's all raised beds now, and he's starting to produce food locally. I was talking to somebody here last night, and he's like, well, you got all those flat roofs. How about starting to grow food on those roofs? Who knows? There's potential. I think it's expensive, but, you never know. I think there's opportunities. And then, once we create the infrastructure, both distribution side and farmer development, so that we've got enough food, then it's about marketing, telling people about the advantages. Because I think, part of it is that people just don't get, number one, how toxic conventional food is, and I hate to say it, but it's true. But also, all the advantages in the right kind of food. And to me, organic is more than just not having poisons in it. Organic, real organic, is about supporting family farmers. Real organic is about buying food as close to home as possible, so you're not causing all of these climate change emissions to get it there. Real organic is about supporting your communities with that food and buying the right kind of food. And so ultimately my goal is to create this really transparent food system where all the values that we want in our food are reflected in it. And if you want to be able to buy it, you can buy it. So that being said, I think I'm going to close. And we've got lots of time for questions afterwards. And Bob, maybe I'll turn it over to you and you can moderate the next section. Thank you.
Spare time in Jim's hands is a dangerous thing because he starts something new. So I want to kind of turn into the Q&A part here. As moderator, this is the other cool thing, is I get to say one or two things first before I open it to questions. One thing that was that I see happen a lot that it's a particular expertise of mine, and I just want to put out there about, the media is bad or, the Chronicle is a problem. You have to understand, Anna LaPay said, I think there's six multinational media companies that own most of them, but in my day job, I meet tremendous men and women, trying to get the story out. And we all know reporters from, you know, from alternative weeklies to NPR to the national publications that are working real hard to do that. But if they're not there at all, then we do have a problem. And just a little statistic that I'd love to get exact numbers, but I was told by a reporter that there's a Society for Agricultural Journalists, and it's down to about 170 or 180 members. In the last 5 years, while they don't have a society yet, there are now at least 280 genetic engineering beat reporters on the American media. So just in that swell foop, you have beat reporters who are really trying hard to get the story out, but their beat, their bosses are generated a GMO story, once a week, once a day, get that out there. And the agricultural journalists are losing their jobs. And so if there's no agricultural journalists, is there agriculture to write about? So I think you need to think about and really respect the day jobs of the reporters. Even, now GMO reporters are calling me and they get a nice earful. But they are trying to do their job and they come from journalism schools. And I always like to just counter with the media is not necessarily the enemy. It's the corporate ownership of these institutions that we need to chastise. But the men and women that work trying to get the story generally do a real good job of doing that. So I wanted to point that out. And then the other part is that we're really, here talking about a Chicago food system. Most of us are from the West Coast and see, distributors that are distributing once a day. I know one, a couple try to do it twice a day to restaurants in the Bay Area. So I'd like the questions to be more focused towards, the Chicago kind of experience here. And I'll start with you.
Went out of business, small dairy farm went out of business before I was old enough to do anything about it. And so I was just wanted to thank the Organic Valley folks a lot because I appreciate what you're doing so much. It's been so exciting to watch that happen at home. And I also was wondering what sort of support do you offer, or how do you encourage farmers to join you, or do they come to you? Do they have to convert to organic first? How does that work? How do they start with you?
The question is to Organic Valley and how they start with beginning farmers, which may be transitional farmers.
Certainly. As we've grown, I threw that chart up there to show that we took on 100 dairy farmers last year. One of the things that we've done, and I tried to talk some about that regional approach we've had, when we're looking to expand into a different area because the demand is there, what we're really after is locating a group of farmers who are, they're in line with our belief system that they want to do something out there for family farmers as well, that they're ready to go. And what really has been helpful, where it's really worked, is where we have I've been able to identify at least one person who's able and willing to go out there and talk to their neighbors, that maybe they know farmers that are in the transitional phase, that they're able to help us get into the local agricultural community there and help us tell the story. And like I said, then we put those graphs up and say, well, if you're conventional, you're getting $10 a hundredweight this year, and guess what? We're paying 20. That people get excited about that kind of thing. So the answer is we really look for people that are able to, we don't want to have to go out there and do a hard sell. Often what we find if we're in that situation, we have been a couple of times because of just needing to open up a market, you end up with what I want to call, they're not so committed to organic. They're committed to the fact that we're going to pay them a whole lot more money. And that looks good to them. And that's okay. But we want them to be with us 5 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe even the next generation, because they believe truly in what organic agriculture is, not just, okay, my paycheck is a lot higher this month, and I'm really happy for that. So.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say something about another kind of solution that's just kind of popped up here, maybe because it's California, but there was a...
I hold the mic.
Okay. There's a...
you have 30 seconds to.
All right. There's a .com company in Silicon Valley that developed a sophisticated technology for map locations on the internet. And this company has now gone and created a website called Local Harvest. And the idea of the design of Local Harvest is to have individuals, farmers, and restaurants register, and then on a regular basis put their requests into this system, and the system would then, provided there's enough people on it, actually aggregate orders so that you actually could have these local connections made simply by people working with their computers.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I have a comment, and then I have a question for you, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
My background is the natural foods industry. As
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been
right.
doing forever from natural food shows.
Right. I'm 29, by the way.
I went back to the beginning of the Natural Foods Association when it transitioned from the NNFA, which was kind of the old pill store owners, to the hippie store owners, which was organized by Doug Green with the Natural Foods Expo. And we watched it grow, where we kind of took over the kind of the old hippies, the granola sellers. And it was really transformative, revolutionary. It was exciting. We all felt like we were in a really exciting field. And I've watched it every year. I've been going to the Natural Foods Expo. And now, almost every company that you do business with is owned by a multinational corporation. And this is so important. I mean, we're talking primarily here about produce, which is also owned by multinational corporations now increasingly. But the packaged food is also done in the same way.
Right.
And it seems to me, just from the perspective of the natural foods industry, that it's time for us to depart and create a more local organization within mm-hmm. the natural foods organization, mm-hmm. Within the natural foods industry. And that, in turn, will spread elsewhere. Yesterday, we were at this
okay,
session.
So.
I want to. This is where I'm getting. Something I don't think you're going to want to talk here, but that Mendocino Renegades
right.
kind of contradicts a lot of the work that we've done for so long, and I've
right.
had a mixed feeling about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about it, that's a great solution,
mm-hmm.
even though it kind of counters all the work that we've been doing in the
right.
natural foods industry.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Because you're working so hard in the organic.
Well. Maybe that should be my panel next year, but I guess very briefly, what I'm trying to do now, and I'll try to tie it into some of the things stated here, is that for one reason or another, we asked a lot of our brothers and sisters to kind of postpone their issues while we got an organic rule, and now the bill is due. And the tie-in here, I think, is that we're talking about fair trade for organic farmers. They're actually, I can't imagine creating another certification program, but fair trade for organic farmers should mean a fair living wage to the employees or the workers as well. You can't pay well as an organic farmer unless you, the organic farmer's got to make a living wage or a fair trade to then pass that on. Now, how to do that in a regional system, how to do that, whether you use the O word or not, I think Red Tomato is starting to look at it. Anybody go to the Provender Alliance meetings? Anybody know them? You know, that dialogue is really happening. That's an alliance of natural food stores. So, no, this is not quite what we were thinking about. And to me, right now, I'm trying to challenge the poets. I'm trying to read and hear about the visionaries about, well, what were we thinking about then, and how does it translate now in an environment of obscene global trade? So celebrate Mendocino Renegades, study Red Tomato, go to Provender, use the Chicago Community Trust. Where does labor fit in? Where does consumer fit in? And that's where we've got to charge our poets and our writers to write about that and to create the passion with each other to then, is it codification? Is it dialogue? Is it handshake and hugs? Back here.
I have two questions, one for Michael and one for Jim. I really admire trying to do what you're doing in Chicago. I considered it and moved out to California because it was just so much easier. How do you wean your customers from wanting tomatoes in January, peaches in February? For Jim, what is your strategy for getting federal subsidies for organic and sustainable farming away from agribusiness towards the smaller groups you're talking about?
Could you repeat the question?
I think the question related to me was how do you wean your clientele from wanting fruits and vegetables that aren't seasonal or not, you know, from your little microclimate, and how do you get them? I mean, for me, the way I do that is I think a lot of chefs are lazy. And I think that by keeping a menu constantly changing, constantly seasonal, you get people to anticipate the oncoming season, you know. I think it's lazy to have, you know, mixed berries on your dessert card all year round. You can have a pastry chef that, luckily we have someone with us, this woman, Nancy Silver, who's very dedicated to using organics and very dedicated to using local, you know, local produce, and, you know, we're using apples, or we're using dried fruits, or she's focusing less and less on, you know, products that aren't available. But I don't know. I mean, I think that it's educational. You've got to educate your clientele and just make it not available. I think you got to wean people, you know, by not having those items on your menu. As tempting as it is when someone comes in and says, you know, why the hell can't I get a, you know, a caprese salad at a trattoria? And, you know, I just went last week and I had a delicious tomato salad, and, you know, possibly putting an alternative on, you know, you can grate. I find myself using some products like, you know, great organic hothouse peppers and making a caprese salad out of roasted organic, you know, peppers instead of using tomatoes, or using products that you perhaps, you know, you just can obtain all year round, and focusing on the seasonality and keeping your menu ever changing. So.
I'm with Michael on that, and also one other strategy, and then I'll get to your question. But one other strategy we're looking at is actually developing ways to extend the growing season. So whether it be greenhouses or hoop houses or other things, there's a tremendous opportunity to do that in the Chicago area with. You know, just figuring out ways to deal with the energy costs. And they're doing it in Holland. They're doing it in Canada with organic techniques. A friend of mine just visited a place in Canada that has 10-month organic production for cucumbers, tomatoes, and peppers, which is mind-boggling to me. And I'm like, I'm Italian, so it's like, oh, that sounds good. So, you know, why not figure out a way to do that somewhere in Illinois? And so we're looking at those kind of possibilities, and they're making money. In terms of the federal money, I must admit that I've got a mentor, a guy named Gus Schumacher, who was former Undersecretary of Agriculture at the USDA back in the good old days, when Richard Rominger was also there. But Gus says and is pointing out to us that there's a lot of different pots out there for money that is not necessarily organic per se, but could be applied to organic, whether it be in the value-added area or in the health and human services, believe it or not. There's ways where you can get some money geared towards local food production, so long as there's, you know, some kind of tie to the needs of you know, others. And so basically we're assessing some of these federal programs. And like, for example, when we got money from the state of Illinois, then they referred us to the USDA for a matching grant through FSMA, which I don't know what it stands for. Julie Brussel knows. Bob may know.
Federal State Incentive Marketing
Program. Right. Thank you, Bob. So, you know, and so it's likely we're going to get some matching money there because the State Department of Ag is supporting us. And, you know, the bottom line is that farmers everywhere are, unless they're really big or really smart, they're losing money, and they're draining the local economies. And I think the federal government recognizes that, and they also see organic growing at 20% a year, and there's profitability. So, you know, my sense is that they're, if you go to them with good proposals, that they may in fact fund it, even if it is the O word.